All right, welcome to the Sports Ethos Los Angeles Chargers podcast here with our Monday night crew, at least until AWA finishes its playoff run. Make sure you go check that out as well. I'll be there Tuesday and Wednesday.
When is that, by the way?
What?
When is it end, by the way?
No, I was saying that Shane's doing AWA. They have the playoffs going on right now.
Yeah, when? I was saying, when does it end?
I think we're done like early October.
Oh my god.
So this is going to be the Monday Night Crew for the first month of the season. Although Shane is probably going to hop in, you know, at certain points. But our Monday Night Crew is led by our Jason Kelsey in Brandon Furtado. It was probably in a better looking closing set than Jason was.
You would think.
And what player do you want to be, Will? Are you Mason today for what he did, or what are you thinking?
Well, you talking about the player that's what? Oh, you talking about like on like the Monday Night Football cast?
Yeah. I mean, what, Ryan? You're gonna be Ryan Clark? I don't want to give you Ryan Clark, man.
Ryan Clark, what was that guy's name?
Dan, you're gonna be Dan Orlovsky.
That's like a bald guy. That bald guy.
Oh, Scott Van Pelt. You're Scott Van Pelt. I'm the moderator here. I'm the Scott Van Pelt.
Or Swaggy Goo. Or Swaggy.
Oh, Swaggy. Swaggoo. Let's start with Jason Kelsey's shirt because we just started talking about it. Brandon, can you please explain how bad the New York malls are that Kelsey had to go through?
Yeah. You know, I don't recommend it. New York, New Jersey, basically tri-state area malls are they're not the best place to go shopping. They are usually crowded, loud, especially depending on when you go. But bottom line is, if you're gonna do any shopping, either do it online or just go to like a local, like just a store, like an outlet store or something like that. Don't go to a mall. Don't go to any of the malls here because you probably won't find what you want. And that's true in Jason Kelsey's case with wearing a shirt that was two sizes too small. And then just don't, you got to be careful when it comes to these malls because they're just, everything's overpriced. It's just not worth it. Bottom line, it's just not worth it.
Yo, quick question. Has Laura Rutledge always been on the sideline for Monday night? Was she on the sideline for Monday night for the double? I don't think so.
Well, she's been there for a bit.
Well, I know, but she was with the number two crew with Louis Riddick and Dan Orlovsky for a time. She's probably going to be number two crew, too.
I guess maybe for like the first week, probably she'll be doing that. Like tonight was special, so I guess maybe that's it.
I would like to see the double with Salters and Rutledge moving forward. I would freaking love that. They're both pretty good. Will, mm-hmm. what is the mall like in your neck of the woods in Michigan?
It's pretty good. I haven't been in the Michigan Mall in a bit. We have a 12 Oaks Mall and we have Somerset Mall. But yeah, I haven't been in there for a while, but I know it's probably pretty busy depending on who needs shopping, but I think it's going to get way busy after October.
I worked at my local Alderwood Mall, and Everett Mall is terrible because it's Everett, and Everett's fucking awful. Seattle Outlet's fun. Alderwood Mall is like the most bland mall ever. It's literally so fucking bland, especially. Oh, they're putting new stores in, but it's bland. Yes, we're starting the show talking about malls. Thank you, Jason Kelsey, for your weird shirt. The only way he could do Monday Night Football. The only way we could do Monday Night Football is with, what is his name? Jordan Mason? I'm still trying to learn this guy's name. Running the ball like no tomorrow.
Have
himself a beautiful, beautiful day. This is why, Jordan Mason. There we go. Jesus, I gotta make sure. He went to Georgia Tech. Who is going to lead the studs article for me this week. This is why we do the writing after the show. Brandon, I'll start with you. Another thing, I've been using the Niners playbook in Madden. And when you talk about the Niners, right? that playbook and what Shanahan's able to do with a backup running back that is his style, but an undrafted running back, I mean, this offense continues to just be special.
Oh, yeah. And it makes me wonder that if they're able to do this with a backup running back, when you take the talent that CMC already had and you give him that playbook, that's why he's been phenomenal. That is insane. That's crazy how you can insert a backup running back into this fold, into this team, and almost integrate him like he's been there for 5 years. That just doesn't happen. So, you know, it's like we talk about a lot of West Coast style offenses and how they run the offenses out there in general, but you can't talk about any, you know, there's not many greater minds in the NFL, or maybe not, probably besides Andy Reid, second greatest mind in the NFL is Kyle Shanahan. He can pull so many things out of his bag, and his bag is deep. And anytime that you watch the Niners offense, you always think, like, if they get off to a hot start like they did tonight, I mean, not at first, but it took a little bit at the end of the game like it has for everybody in week one. But once they really got rolling, basically once they got up, honestly, that game was over once they got up 13-7. The game was over. You just felt them that they were going to get on a roll. I mean, and everybody played a part, you know. I mean, Kittle and Ayuk really didn't do much, but they really didn't have to, because literally Mason did everything tonight. Yeah, it's funny how both teams, just looking at this perspective from both teams for this game tonight, both teams tried to establish the run. Problem is the Jets weren't good at it. When it comes to just the Niners and the way they do it, the way they run their offense, that machine is so well oiled. It's just seamless execution. I've never seen a team so, and we said this last year about them too, their execution is the best in football. And it's just the only thing that kills them is just that. It's just if they get down in the game, they don't make adjustments. But nobody executes a game plan better than Kyle Shanahan and this Niners offense. Just they everything they do top to bottom is so sound. Everybody knows what their assignments are. There's never any mistakes, it feels like. There's just never any miscues. Whether that's blocking wise, whether that's picking up a teammate who might be struggling in the game and finding someone else who can pick up the load and they take off in the game, you know, finding another option, they have second, third, fourth read at times. It's just everything that they seem to do works, and you don't find a better, because even the Kansas City Chiefs, who have won multiple Super Bowls, and we're talking about, you know, ad nauseum and how great they are, even their structure and operation is not great at times. The Niners seem to be the only team in football where everything is just a constant wheel that's turning. You know, nice and easy. It's like it almost feels effortless the way they run that offense. But that team is beautiful to watch. So it kills me to say that, because of given us and them our history over the years between Philly and the Niners. But honestly, I like the way I love. You know, I love to hate them, and I hate to love them. The way that they play their game. So, you know, they're flawless on all. That's plain and simple.
It kills everyone in Washington to say this, and Will, you know, as a Seahawks fan, it just kills us to say it. But yeah, the Niners are beautiful. They're just so fun to watch. What say you, Will, with this Niners unbelievably functional offense?
Well. I kind of saw it coming a little bit, but at first I was trying to deny it. But I guess even without Christian McCaffrey, the offense done what they had to do. The blocking, the offensive line, Jordan Mason filling in for Christian McCaffrey, basically Jennings, Brent Ayuk, even Purdy did pretty well. Like, everyone did pretty well. And I always thought that usually Kyle Shanahan's offense is very creative and a lot of heavy motions like Sean McVay's motions, and shifting the field from receivers and having receivers like cut half of the field, like drags or some corners. And it's always a quarterback friendly system. And personally, I think that basically the 49ers offense was clicking. They did what they had to do. They capitalized on what the defense containing Rodgers for a bit. Besides that one touchdown, that was a free play. And also Brees Hall in the beginning of the first quarter. But since then, like, that just haven't done much. And the 49ers capitalized offensively. And basically Brock Purdy played pretty well.
And let's go over to the Jets side. Is there nervousness setting in if you're a Jets fan, Will? Do you feel like there's some nervousness after week one, or do you think it was just, like we talked about yesterday, just week one jitters, figuring things out?
Yeah. I honestly, for the Jets, there is. I think the best thing is that it gets Hassan Reddick a big payday, because, man, I think the offense, though, you know, they had some problems not being well balanced, that defense was horrific. Like, they couldn't get no pressure on Purdy. The passing coverage wasn't all that great, was terrible. Like, Sauce Gardner, especially, he was out for a couple of snaps defensively. And, man, honestly, this defense don't look like the same defense that it was last season, two seasons ago. It looks like a defense that still needs progression and also needs Hassan Reddick badly. So, honestly, that to me, defensively, is something that the Jets need to worry about.
Yeah, I love that you just brought up Hassan immediately, because, yeah, he better get paid this week or else we're going to have a problem, Brandon.
Yeah, there's, you know, it's say what you want about the way that he's, you know, his attitude, but not for nothing. He doesn't deserve a ton of money, but he deserves to get paid. He's one of the best pass rushers in football that people forget about. I should know. I've seen it myself for 2 years in Philadelphia. So I think he should get paid, and I think you have to pay him, because that was horrific tonight. There was no pressure on Brock Purdy whatsoever. There was no, I mean, and then the secondary, even before Sauce went out, why are guys, especially on there was a 2nd and 19, why the hell is there a receiver sitting down in the middle of your defense 20 yards down the field, and there's 5 Jets just looking clueless right around them? Like, there was no, like, they were literally, like, he found the soft spot in the Jets zone. But why is there a soft spot 20 yards down the field? Why? On the 2nd and 19. That makes no sense to me. Yeah, a lot of guys, I mean, they just simply couldn't hang. And you know what it was? It was mostly just they couldn't stop them. And then, you know, we always say, you know, here's the thing, you know, you got to run the ball to set up the pass. And that's true. And that's exactly what the Niners did tonight. They ran the ball down the Jets' throats to set up the pass, and eventually it wore them out. And then the pass, then the DBs, and then basically the linebackers just couldn't cover a damn thing. So it's you know, if you can establish, the thing is, if you're committed to running the ball, you have to run the ball well, obviously, in order for it to work. And you know, that's why Brock Purdy didn't have to have a 400-yard game. Ayuk didn't, you know, Ayuk was limited, but he didn't have to have a big game. Debo did and killed. None of them, it's funny, none of those guys had a great game. They didn't have to, because the running game beat the crap out of the Jets. But the thing is, when they did decide to pass the ball, the Jets had no answer. They were worn out. And then you can't play defense from behind. You know, your offense doesn't even, you know, offense gets back out there, goes 3 and out constantly. It's just not, you know, you're not going to hang in the game for long. And they didn't really have, by the end of the second quarter, the game was over, more or less. It was 16-7. That game was basically over. Even at that point, that game was over. So, you know, they got to have Hassan Reddick back. They got to hope Sauce is okay, because you can't lose him either. They better start, you know, praying. Because, I mean, like we said, after all these games, yeah, it's only week one. But the thing is, I don't think anybody expected the Jets to be this bad coming out of the gate. And that was horrific on both ends from their part. So, but defensively, they need all the help they can get. So they got to bring them back, and they got to that secondary. Everybody keeps talking about how good they were. They didn't look it tonight. So we'll see.
The thing with the Jets, bro, and they were talking about this in the broadcast. You can't just rely on Garrett Wilson and Breece Hall to do everything. You can't. Mm-hmm. You can't. Like, Mike Williams has to step up. I know he's dealing with injury. He didn't play much today. Everyone else has to step up. And what is that receiving core minus Mike Williams? It's nothing special, is it?
It's really. What is it? Alan Lazard, who was Aaron Rodgers' buddy in Green Bay?
Is that it?
That's basically it.
Oh, God. Oh. Yeah, we didn't talk about their receivers as much as we should have in the offseason, because that's a problem. That's a problem. Oh, my God. Is that it, basically? Because, I mean, I don't have anything else. It was just a rough game by the Jets there.
I mean, like, you know what's crazy to me? Is that I get week one, all these teams don't want to show their playbooks, right? But if you're the Jets, you have Aaron Rodgers, you got to at least try to throw a little more. You can't run the ball so much and get nowhere with it. You got to change it up at some point. And they just didn't. And then when they did, it just made it easy because the Niners defense.
It felt like the Giants. It felt like the Giants. That's what it fucking felt like.
It definitely did. I mean, hell, realistically, if you take away the garbage time TD, they only scored, you know, 13 points. So, you know, that's absolutely crazy. This is just a bad sign of New York sports in general. How your two teams combined for 26 points, was it something like that? No, not 26. 19 and 6. So 25 points between both teams. That's not a good opening week for New York sports. Well, New York / New Jersey sports. But the Jets, you know, that third and one that you couldn't pick up, it was awful. You know, I don't care who it is, the Niners or whatever. I mean, it's great defensive execution by the Niners, but third and one, you gotta be able to pick up a yard. And you've been running the ball all game, and it didn't work. And then fourth and one, like, if anything, if you knew you, because at that point you had to go for it on fourth down if you didn't get it on third. I honestly, and especially because the run game was not going anywhere pretty much all night. I mean, that's probably one of the times, especially being down, I would have tried to catch the Niners a little off guard, and on third and one, try to throw a short pass. You know, do something different. But I don't know. Nothing about the Jets tonight was any good. That was a really, really bad showing. And I mean, Jets fans, if you, I don't know why, like we told you, I mean, listen, it's only week one, but as of right now, you know, we told you that this is probably what they're going to be. And they got a lot to clean up if they want to even be a true contender, like a lot of Jets fans and a lot of people in this area think that they could be, because the Bills played better than you, the Dolphins played better than you, even the Patriots to a degree played better than you in your own division. You played like the fourth place team in that division tonight. So
the Patriots played better. The Patriots played better. They just did.
Yeah,
and there's no question. Will,
that's scary to say that.
Yeah, Will, are you in with the Jets? Were you in the offseason with them or no?
Honestly, I was a little bit mixed bag with the Jets because, yeah, Aaron Rodgers, yeah, because of the injury, but also first, the receiving core was a bit like it had Garrett Wilson, but I feel like who was going to be that second option, and I don't know if Alan Lazard could be that guy, and Mike Williams, we just got to wait till he's healthy, because I think he's possibly, when healthy, might be that second guy. But yeah, I think the receiving core was probably an issue, and I thought possibly the O-line, they didn't really, well, they did pretty well in most stints, but there's been still need some patching up to do with the O-line, especially Ader at the end spot, either the guards or the center. I think that outside, like Tyron Smith, I think they're doing pretty good, but it still need a little bit of work. But I don't know. I feel like I wasn't all in much with the Jets. And now after the game, I'm clearly still a little bit skeptical about them. But I know we agree it's only one game. But we got to see, because I feel like if Robert Sala don't get this together, especially team together, this could be his last season, because I know that there was like expectation of last year. You know, he had excuse, Aaron Rodgers, and he had to contend with Zach Wilson. So this one, usually this time is like no excuse. They did what they have to do in off season, and man, if Robert Sala can do it, like I said before, like this, it could be, he could get the boot, and it could possibly be his last season as the Jets head coach.
Yeah, I love that you brought that up, too. I think this is it for him, Brandon. I really do. I can't see this going well. I genuinely can't.
Yeah, I don't think it will. You know, his seat's been hot for a minute now, for a good minute now. I honestly don't think he survives the season if they keep playing like this. If they're not in a good spot, even before they get mathematically eliminated, whatever it is, before they get knocked out, if they get knocked out, the second that they fall too far behind, I fire them. Because it's just that this is not what you expected. This is not what Jets fans expected going into the season, and this is not what you expected of this team going into the season. So I feel like he's got a short leash. I don't feel like it's going to play out the whole season. I if he does not get this team in a good spot, probably in the next, I would say, 6 weeks, then I'd fire him. I didn't think he was a good coach to begin with. I don't think he's a good coach now. The Jets, they just need a culture shift with that coaching staff. It's not going anywhere. I mean, their defense is going to be fine. I think it's just week one and just getting knocking some rust out plus Sauce going out, didn't help. Doesn't excuse how bad they played, but I just think that eventually it's going to come to a point where that offense is just not going to, the wheels aren't going to turn enough for it to, that defense, I believe on the show before we even got to the season, I said, if that defense has to carry them again, we're going to have a problem. So, and right now you had a problem. You lost by two scores, but really you lost by three scores to San Fran, and the game wasn't competitive. So it's not a good look. But you know what I do want to talk about, though? Because my coworker brought up this good point tonight, and not a really good point, but a good thought that, since we're talking about Jordan Mason, right, and CMC being down for this week, if I, CMC said that he kind of wanted, he was hoping he would play, and he really thought he was going to play, and they told him Friday because we just found out pretty much now. They told
bro,
him Friday
fantasy managers disrejoice, bro. Why didn't we get that blurb on Friday, bro? What that, Brandon, we didn't get it. Nobody got it. What?
Yeah.
What?
No one
reported that shit. Really? I mean, I guess because it's a Monday night game, but at least we could have gotten it on Saturday, bro.
Yeah, I'm shocked that there wasn't a single reporter. Like, how did Schefter or Rappaport not get that scoop? I don't get. But But what I'm trying to think is, and this is what I'm thinking going forward for the Niners, and yeah, they won without him tonight, but it's just week one. I'm thinking, like, because he doesn't have just an Achilles injury. He's got an Achilles and calf. I don't know how healthy he's going to be this year. And my coworker was saying he had an Achilles injury. I mean, this is, he's not a pro athlete, but an Achilles injury can keep you out a whole season. So if he tries to play on that injury, it's not going to go well. So
are they going to slowly kind of train him back in here? Because that's something I'm thinking about is, well, if you're a fantasy manager, Jordan Mason's your number one pickup this week. I mean, that's it. You're picking him up. There's no question. But
oh yeah.
But if you're the Niners, like, you probably feel comfortable with George Mason at least for a month. Again, I'm very curious, and we'll see it with the blurbs, Brandon. Like, I'm very curious to see Christian McCaffrey's workload over the next 4 to 5 days in practice.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking towards. I'm just wondering because, you know, anybody that tries to play through an Achilles is not the same. It's just not going to be the same player. So when you combine that with a slight calf problem too, so basically his whole, you know, like the whole half a leg, that I'm wondering, and I know he's a strong guy, but he's had injury problems in the past. If he's not ready to go next week, then I'm going to really get concerned about this injury being a long-term thing the rest of the season, because you can't play on something like that. And the thing is, it doesn't take just weeks for that to go away. So it's not like it's like all these, you know, sprains and stuff we saw over the weekend where it's like, oh yeah, these guys could come back in, you know, 2 or 3, 4 weeks, whatever it is. That's an injury you don't come back from. If you tear it, it's a whole year. If you sprain it, or if you, whatever it is, that's at least like 3/4 of the season. So I'm scared that if he tries to go next week and it's not fully there, and who knows if it will be, because like we said, an Achilles takes a lot of time to heal. I wonder if he really does play next week, or if he does really, because he was only limited this week. But the thing is, he was limited early in the week and he stayed limited. So that's concerning. A little bit, I think. So I'm wondering just where they go if or what's going to happen. It's not just in fantasy, but just in general, what's going to happen if he can't, or if there's a bigger problem here than what they're not, because they didn't tell us that he wasn't going to play. We didn't know until literally an hour and a half before the game. So I'm wondering if they're going to try to hide something from us that we don't know about as the weeks go on, or if they're trying to hide this from us to make it seem like it's not as bad as what it probably is.
Yeah, and keep an eye on Sportito's Fantasy Football as well. I keep trying to promote the blurbs here because we're doing it, and we'll keep an eye on that for you. Working hard, so please check that out as well. Will, do you have any final thoughts on this game before we move on to the post-credits scene?
Honestly, I think we went all the points with it. I think the biggest thing about this game is, I think on different trajectories, and we'll see how the coming weeks come for both teams. So I think that's mostly all I got to say about it, because I think we touch on mostly all the things. I think so. So I think that's all I got to say.
Yeah, let's move on to some pretty sad news. Especially sad for us on the show, because we did the Star Wars movies over the summer, Brandon. James Earl Jones passes away at 93. What an incredible life that man lived.
Oh, yeah. You know, there's so many, you know, countless movies he's been a part of. You know, people called him, you know, along with Morgan Freeman, you know, for a while, you know, the voice of God. Just, it's incredible voice, incredible actor. Like, I, you know, as a sports fan, I love him for starring with Kevin Costner in Field of Dreams. You know, and of course, yeah, you know, growing up for us, you know, he was Lion King, you know, Mufasa. And if, you know, there's so many things he's done. You know, Coming to America with Eddie Murphy is one of my favorite comedy movies. there's a lot, you know, that he did in his career, especially a lot of voice work. You know, it stinks. You know, he was a big part of a lot of people's childhood. You know, he lived, he lived a long, full life. You know, it just reminds us that, you know, we always think our heroes and our legends are going to live forever and that we're going to live forever. And it reminds us that life is definitely fleeting. It's not a thing that, you know, you can take for granted. And it's not a thing that, you know, it's a thing you really have to cherish when you do have it, because you never know when it could be gone. But a legend like that, incredible just actor. That, you know, it was incredible. I mean, and I heard he was an even better human being off screen, and away from, you know, the microphone and things like that. So I often wonder, you know, if we'll ever see another man with that kind of voice and that kind of talent again, because he just had such a wide range too. But man, you know, 93 is nothing to sneeze at. You know, that's a great life lived. You know, it's just, there's a reason why people, you know, have loved him for so long. He's been literally an American icon for so long. You know, we always hoped that we would, you know, that you always hope when, you know, especially when your favorite actors and legends get older, you want to just get a little more out of them and a little more out of them and a little more. But, you know, he made so many memories in our lives growing up, and just in a lot of so many people growing up, and then just around the world, that it's a sad day for everybody that loves, you know, movies and just the you know, the basically, you know, thespianism and, you know, being an actor and then being a filmmaker and all these different things like that. So, you know, rest in peace to one of the greatest voices and actors that we've ever heard, really. You know, sad day for everybody, for Star Wars fans, Lion King fans, just acting fans in general. You know his name. So, you know, really sad day. But I'm glad that we did get to cover him in the offseason. We got to talk about him. We got to talk about the, you know, the franchise. So it was good that we did something, you know, basically timely during the offseason. So, you know, not enough can be said, but just rest in peace to a great actor in James Earl Jones.
Will, I'm sure you also had experience listening to his announcer or his announcer and actor voice for you as well.
Yeah, he's one of those guys that I remember so often. Like what you said, I remember him a lot from Coming to America. I believe he played the father. Yeah, and I know Eddie Murphy was there too. That was pretty good. He's also was on the sequel in 2021, a couple of years ago.
Fun sequel. Not as good as the first one, but a fun sequel.
Yeah, it was toned down, of course, and people are older, so, you know, it's kind of a big difference. But nonetheless, it was still pretty good. You know, Lion King as well, Sandlot, Star Wars, like he done a lot, and also especially the historical ones. There was the Martin Luther King movie and the Muhammad Ali one. So he done a lot of stuff. And also, I remember I read something. He done like some military work, I believe. And man, and honestly, yeah, I don't really know much about him personally. I know a lot of people respect him around the world. I saw some tweets as well paying their respects to him, and especially the legacy he had, especially to what he done and how he carries up in movies and different types of movies, whatever the range is, like scary, serious, like comedy. Like, yeah, he's been through in a lot of different genres, and we don't see a lot of actors that can really have that type of range. Like, I know guys I watched before. I think the only people I could know is probably a Will Smith, possibly, or a Keanu Reeves. But mostly that guy James Earl Jones. He set the bar. He's one of the guys that set the bar especially as an African American actor, especially in a business like that. Because I know back then, probably that, you know, guys like African American actors don't really have that much opportunities. They don't get a lot of opportunities like others do. And, you know, sometimes seeing these like black actors and getting these opportunities to, and start and their star grows and they become, you know, one of these well-known figures in Hollywood. It's really sad to see, especially at myself as African American looking at this. So honestly, he set the standard, he set the bar, especially for actors everywhere, and he will be sorely missed.
Wonderfully said by both of you. Yeah, rest in peace to James Earl Jones. What a career. 93 is a special life. I mean, my dad always talk about it, man. Get upper 90s, upper 80s, that's a special life. And he lived it to the fullest. We're also going to do Spider-Man 4. Tom Holland's Spider-Man 4. Destin Daniel Cretton, who directed Shang-Chi. Will, I know you as well are a big Marvel fan, as Brandon and I are as well. What is your reaction to the news that he's in talks to direct and pretty much will direct the next Tom Holland Spider-Man film?
Who's going to direct it again?
Destin Daniel Cretton, the Shang-Chi director.
Oh, yeah. Honestly, it's going to be pretty good. I remember I watched the Shang-Chi movie myself. I think I drove to theater while I was in school. And I remember I was watching the movie, and it was pretty well done. Honestly, the Mandarin, I know they butchered him in Iron Man 3. And I think I said Iron Man 3. I think it was in Iron Man 3, right?
It was 3, right? Yeah, it was 3. Because 2, yeah, it was
3.
It was 3. Yep, yep. The two Iron Man movies that are not the best in the world, even though I like 3 to a degree.
Yeah, so they did the Mandarin Justice in that movie, and it was pretty well received. And now he's doing this movie with Tom Holland Spider-Man. I know Tom Holland Spider-Man had his critics, mine included, because it was hard to really, you know, take hold of Spider-Man mantle as an actor, because you got guys like McGuire and Andrew Garfield that did pretty good in their role, especially with McGuire, who was arguably has some of the best movies, probably except 3, because 3 was a little bit controversial because not a lot of people like it. Some people like it, some people don't, because of different reasons. But 1 and 2 was critically acclaimed and it was pretty well done. And Andrew Garfield was like, he had his moments. I think I like more of the villains than Andrew Garfield. I like the Lizard and Jamie Foxx's Electro, but that's about it. And then also, especially the last movie they did with Spider-Man, basically when they had that nostalgia trip where they have all the 3 Spider-Mans together, and that was pretty well. And we had Will Dafoe as the Green Goblin. That was well done. And now we got 4, and I believe 4 is... I forgot what the plot's going to be for that one, but I thought possibly it was going to be Tom Hardy's Venom, but I know Tom Hardy's Venom is getting a last movie, so I'm not sure what's the fate of his character for that. I thought maybe he's going to be part of that, and then we might see Tom Holland in the black suit, possibly like a Tobey Maguire in his in Spider-Man 3 possibly. But I'm feeling very optimistic about this personally, because how great the actor was with Shang-Chi, and I feel like this is going to be something good. Honestly, this has been probably one of the best Marvel movies since after the Endgame, because usually Spider-Man movies usually more so hit than miss. And then while the other Marvel movies haven't really lived up to par after Endgame, especially with the multiverse stuff that's going on right now. So honestly, I'm have a good feeling about this movie. I think it might be pretty good. We will see how it goes. And honestly, we'll see how Tom Holland does with this one. It might be the last Tom Holland Spider-Man, but we'll see what happens at the 4th one. But I feel good. I feel like it has some promise.
So Will, I'll give you the update on the story. So over the last 6 to 12 months, Sony and Marvel have one big argument. The big argument is Marvel wants a street level story, which I think makes sense due to kind of how No Way Home went. Love to see Daredevil and Spider-Man team up. And Sony has had a fight to say, well, we want to make money. We want a multiverse movie. And guess who won that? Sony won that. Fucking hell. Sony won. Where it looks like we're getting a multiverse movie. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Wait a sec. We just had a multiverse movie.
Exactly my point, yeah, Will. Thank you.
Yep.
Thanks, Sony. Will, does that temper your optimism a little bit that this looks to be a multiverse movie?
I don't know. I'm just tired of it, man. We just got it with Deadpool and Wolverine.
We got that too.
Huh?
No, I was saying we got that. I mean, we got the Spider-Man multiverse thing. We got the Deadpool, multiverse thing. It's like, yeah. Why are we beating this crap to death? But go ahead, Will. Finish up with it.
Yeah. Honestly, we Deadpool, Wolverine. We had like Doctor Strange multiverse madness. Like, man, I'm just getting tired of multiverse stuff because I think the multiverse stuff happened after an Endgame when they actually they went back the time travel, so that's kind of different. But it was sort of a like instance or a little Easter egg of what's to come. Honestly, it felt like for the bad, to be honest, because it all started with WandaVision, which had its ups and downs. But honestly, I think when they got out of the episodic feature of it and then to the serialization, then it was pretty well done. And I think, man, then after that, we got all this multiverse, this and that. And man, I agree with Brandon, man. They're beaming it to death, like constantly. I don't know which is universe what, or the primary universe. They keep on saying, oh, this is universe, prime universe, what, 1A, what a B, I don't know. It's just, I don't know, it's just getting irritating. It's really pissing me off. Honestly, that's why I'm kind of referring to DC, because I feel like James Gunn is bringing the DC back to life, to be honest. We'll see what happens.
I'm excited for DCU, right? We're getting Creature Commandos in December. We're getting Superman. Obviously, change from Superman Legacy. Superman Peacemaker season 5 just got announced. We'll see that late in 2025. Yeah. It's hype right now. But Brandon, we need a street level Spider-Man story, man. We don't got a real street level one yet. We're not gonna get it. Looks like, because Sony's like, we want money. We want multiverse. It's like, the only time I want to see Toby and Andrew again is Secret Wars. I don't want to see them before that.
Yeah. What's the purpose of doing another multiverse movie when the last Spider-Man was that? So why are we just continuing off of that? And then, we're all saying, what the hell is the point of continuing to beat the multiverse idea to death? And I know you want to make money, but here's the problem. It will make money, and that's what sucks about it.
It's a Spider-Man movie. It's going to make money regardless. Who cares? Oh, and I mean Doomsday 2. I want to see Toby and Andrew in Doomsday 2, but anyway, continue.
See, this is, what I hate about, modern, movies and just American society in general, is that when it comes to movies, is, they'll put slop on a screen, and people will still watch it. Because people just, they're like, oh, I just want to be entertained. It's like, but there's got to be a reason behind it that's legitimate, not just a blatant cash grab that they're going to keep milking because they know suckers like you will watch it. It's getting to the point where it's at the point where it's past the point now where it's just like, it's ridiculous. I was never... When we first had all these kind of multiverse movies and things, like the first one or two, I was like, okay, this is cool. Enough's enough already. We've got a little taste of it. It's cool. Why are we still doing it? Why do we need to beat this crap? Because a street level Spider-Man story would just be fine. And we haven't had that. I mean, realistically, if you think about it, we haven't had that really since Maguire's Spider-Man. So it's, you know, Garfield wasn't bad, but there was always those little hints there. And, you know, Tom Holland's not a bad Spider-Man. And I don't think that at all, but I get, you know, like Will was saying, with all three of them, like, you know, Maguire's the OG, and, you know, his first two are critically acclaimed. You know, the third one, you can say what you want, but the thing is, the third one has a lot of meme-worthy moments that make it, you know, it's so bad it's good. And then Garfield's is the most comically accurate Spider-Man, which makes it good in its own right, even if it wasn't the best. But Garfield's was definitely more, probably the most emotional of all of them, which I like too. And then, you know, Holland's is just fun. And Holland looks the part, which helps. But, you know, it's enough. Like, I love Spider-Man. I'll probably go see it, but I'm not going to see it because I love the multiverse stuff and I'm a sucker. Like, yeah, I'm paying money to go see it because I'm a Spider-Man fan. But, like, I'm not going to sit there coming out of that movie and thinking, wow, that was a good movie. I'm going to think, wow, I had fun watching Spider-Man, but I don't like the multiverse crap. It's just enough is enough. This is why we were saying it too, with the whole DCU. They just seem to know what they listen. People might say, oh, well, you know, Marvel and all that stuff, you know, the MCU got better movies than what DC and the DCU. I'm like, you know, than what the DC people are doing. It's like, okay, but at least with DC, there's a story. They're trying to tell you a story. When it comes to any of the MCU movies, and it feels like, especially lately, I mean, the thing is, like, Deadpool is a multiverse movie. The Deadpool and Wolverine movie is a multiverse movie done right, because Deadpool's poking fun at it and why it's so stupid.
I want to add something to that. It's a multiverse movie, but in reality, it's not exactly. It's a Fox X-Men movie. So if you treat it like that, then whatever.
But I see, like, that's a multiverse movie done right. But the problem is that in terms of just the regular MCU stuff outside of Deadpool and Fox and all that kind of, you know, stuff, the multiverse stuff is like, just give it a rest. Like, I know people keep saying, oh, you know, I love Marvel movies. I love the multiverse. Like, how do you love the multiverse at this point, at this current stage in time in 2024? How can you even say at this point you love the multiverse stuff still? It's done. It's boring. It's not a fun watch anymore. It gets confusing now, and everybody is sick of it. So I hate that. It's like when people complain about the new Madden every year. Yeah, but you're still going to have people that are going to buy it. It's still going to make money.
And again, the thing is, Marvel is going to do, I think it's actually part of the reason why Marvel is speeding up this saga. They're trying to get it done because they know that people don't like it. I generally think that's why they're doing it. I think they're just like, all right, this wasn't a great idea. Let's speed it up and we can do like Supernatural. We can do X-Men. Like, I think that's what they're doing. I really do. But you put Robert Downey Jr. in there. What's your reaction to Robert Downey Jr. being Dr. Doom? Because we didn't get a chance to talk to you about that.
Oh, yeah. I saw a video of it. I believe they revealed it during a event at Comic-Con where they had a bunch of Dr. Doom minions across the stage, and then they had this one Dr. Doom unmasked on with Robert Downey Jr. And I was like, okay, I kind of feel it, to be honest. I feel like this is mostly a desperation move, to be honest, because I know all the people, they killed off mostly all the old figureheads of the first phase, mostly the first, second, third, like the first half of the phase in Marvel. Like, they did it with Robert Downey Jr. with Iron Man after he snapped his fingers. I know they deal with Black Widow with the, off the cliff to sacrifice it for the stone. They killed her off, and they said Hawkeye retired. I guess Hulk is going to be replaced by She-Hulk, which is, I don't know, I'm still skeptical about it. And also Hawkeye retired, and they're going to have Kate Bishop be the new Hawkeye. And we still got Doctor Strange. I think Thor's Chris Hemsworth going to be almost riding off to the sunset. So I feel like the old guard is sort of getting out of there. But I feel like now with the multiverse, I think now it's the excuse of like, okay, we're going to bring back the Opio, but wait, it's a different variant. And I'm like, wait, what? And then I was looking, and then I was like, oh, so people say that there was a variant where Tony Stark or Iron Man became Doctor Doom. Yep. I'm like, okay, well, I guess they said...
Bro, possibly- if they do that, I would lose my shit. I want to see actual Doctor Doom! We haven't seen him, man!
Yeah, do it right. Yeah, do it right, because the last couple of Dooms has been pretty underwhelming.
It's awful. It's awful. In better news, Brandon, let's finish off with The Weeknd. You're hype about it. Your new album, you've been posting it all over our chat, man. I had to give you some time on that.
Yeah. Listen, when it comes to The Weeknd, I will defend that man. I will move heaven and earth to defend that man. I don't like a lot of modern music. And I'll be the first one to admit that. A lot of things I like are very much a lot of 90s and a lot of early 2000s, you know, basically just 90s and 2000s in general. I like a lot of the stuff that was around when I was a little kid. But, yeah, when it comes to The Weeknd, the first time I heard him, you know, I was blown away by his voice. I was blown away by, like, it wasn't even the beat. It was just the voice and the darkness of the lyrics. And I love a lot of darker kind of things. So, you know, it spoke to me. So, I mean, now with this whole kind of 80s inspired kick he's on, I mean, I love it. I love that we hear snippets of like the new album, well, the new song that's coming out Friday, on this new iPhone commercial. You know, I loved seeing that during the game tonight. But I mean, when it comes to his music and what he does, it's, I hate when people like old, you know, a lot of older people be like, oh, all pop music today sucks. And I'm like, yeah, I agree with about 99% of that, but I love The Weeknd. I want to see him in concert. I was pissed I didn't get to see him last year. I just missed him by like a day. So I mean, you know, I have a poster of him in my room. I have some of his, I have like two of his albums on vinyl in my room. I have t-shirts, two t-shirts. You know, I love the whole, you know, I love the whole EXO logo. I love what that kind of represents, the deeper meanings that the EXO has, you know, behind just being a symbol, a logo. I love the fact that just, you know, I don't like the fans he has, the crazy obsessive fans that are in his comment section, but when it's somebody as big as The Weeknd, that's going to happen. You know, Taylor Swift has that with her Swifties, you know, Ariana Grande has that. I guess I don't know what we're calling. I mean, there's no, I don't know what we're calling The Weeknd fans. I guess what you call them, Weekenders. I don't know.
I think that's what they're called. I could be wrong.
I don't even know. I don't think there's a name for people like us, but you know, they're like when it comes to his music and the stuff that he does, and the thing is, he's very good at marketing. He's very good at marketing himself. But it's funny, he's not like Taylor Swift where he's everywhere. He's not like that, but he keeps quiet, and then when he unleashes, you know, his marketing attempts and promoting new music and new shows or whatever it may be, he's a genius for it. He knows what he's doing. He's a lot like, that's why I like his artistry to me, the way he kind of promotes himself and the way he goes about his stuff, and also likes to keep quiet about things too. He reminds me a lot, and this is why I also love him too. He's got that authenticness about him that's like Eminem. And I've been an Eminem fan since I was born. So, you know, when Eminem makes an appearance or comes out of the woodwork, like, it's a boom. It's not just a little tree branch falling to the ground. It's a massive ass, you know, red oak tree falling, you know, redwood tree falling in the woods. It's a bang. So, it, you know, I love that, you know, The Weeknd, I love when he just is able to continually just hone his craft because he's good at what he does. He's good at the sounds that he utilizes. He's just good at being just a like that dark pop, dark R&B, but somehow 80s tinged style that it's mesmerizing to me. Like it you know, you at first glance you're hearing, you're like, oh, that's just crappy pop music. But it's like when you really think about it, it doesn't sound like anybody else. You know that's The Weeknd. Like, to me, Taylor Swift sounds like anybody else. I'll get crap for that. Excuse me. So sorry, Rob. But
it's fine. So, I get it. I try to be a respectful Swiftie, not an intentional Swiftie.
You know, like when I hear her music, like sometimes I can't even tell it's her because I've heard that same song from 10 other artists before. When I hear The Weeknd, I know it's him. So, he's got a style that's both just, you know, old school, but very much grounded in his own new way in this modern era, that it's a little bit different. I like the collaborations he does. I can go on and on, but basically I'm so happy to see him do a new commercial. I'm so happy we're getting a new single and a new album. Not a fan of the album title so far, but I don't care. He could name it the dumbest thing on the planet and I wouldn't care.
Oh my God, Will brought up the Kendrick Lamar thing and Shane's like, I've never heard a single Kendrick Lamar song and we're both like, not like us.
No, wait. No, Shane can't, there's no way he's never heard a single Kendrick song.
Or at least he doesn't know who can't, he doesn't like listen to Kendrick that heavy. Oh my God,
you don't know?
Good kid, Mad City. Oh shit, I spelled it wrong. Hold on, sorry, spelled it wrong.
Bro, I played Not Like Us to Shane last week.
So wait, I'm just gonna keep wait, section 80. Like, I can keep going. Like,
I'm not telling Shane, we're talking about this on the pod right now. I'm telling him that right now.
Oh my goodness, there's no, he hasn't heard All Right, or he hasn't heard. There's no way Shane has not heard Kendrick Lamar. There's no way, bro. That's impossible.
Humble, bro? Not like us.
Oh my God, bro. Yeah,
like, sit down. Be humble.
Be humble, boy.
That's been an NBA for a minute. They be putting that NBA
when it's put it on ESPN broadcast all the damn time.
He's heard it for football. He has to have heard it for football. There's no way. There's no way, bro. There's no way you haven't heard a Kendrick song. Oh,
don't kill my vibe.
Bro, Will and Brandon, you have an assignment. Just send like him like the best Kendrick song you can. Just do it right now.
Oh, like yes.
Send something,
bro. Do it, bro. I'll trust you guys on it. I love Kendrick, but I'll trust you guys to put it in there. Because you guys know Kendrick a lot more than I do.
I would send him like older Kendrick. I'm not gonna send him anything new. Like I would send
Not like us, boy.
Like, yeah, I mean, he'll know. He has to know that. But like,
I played it for him 2 weeks ago, I think. By the way, I'm not a big Not Like Us fan, but I get the hype of the song. I just can't listen to it over and over again.
I could send him all five parts of The Heart. I could send him that. I could send him Swimming Pools. I can send him
Money Tree.
Yeah, Money Trees. Oh my goodness, there's so much I can send. That's Shane.
Yeah,
I could say. Oh my God, I could. I mean, he's good. There's no way. Yeah, he's had to have heard DNA.
Let me see. I love the song Love. Love is loyalty is amazing. Element is great.
Loyalty.
Yeah, well, bro, please don't. Yeah. We're not actually trying to get copyrighted, guys. Chill. I'm telling the copyright people to not copyright us, not us.
Oh, you know what he would like, Will? He would like no makeup. He might like that.
Oh yeah, okay.
He would like that. He would probably also like ADHD too.
Safe to say we're all hyped for Kendrick being on the halftime.
Yeah, basically, yeah, I'm hyped for it. I, the thing is that it's just that I hate that a lot of newer people that like, oh yeah, I know, like I've known Kendrick since like Damn, and I'm like, yeah, I've known Kendrick since like Section 80 or even before that. Like,
For me, Damn made me fall in love with his music, but I like a lot of his stuff. I just don't listen to him. It's like with all these artists. I like you as an artist. I just don't listen to you enough. I think the only one that isn't the case for me is Taylor, just because I'm bombarded with her music. But and that's not my fault. Taylor's on the radio way too much for her own good, but that's fine.
For me, I haven't listened to Kendrick fully since Damn. Like, Damn was the last album I downloaded from him. I love Section 80. Good Kid, Mad City. I want to have it on vinyl. That's my favorite Kendrick album. I like To Pimp a Butterfly a little bit. Damn, I liked, even though it was different. But like, I didn't listen to a lot of Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers. I just didn't listen to it. I didn't listen to some of the other unreleased stuff. Like, was it Untitled Unmastered? He had a couple of tracks with that. I've heard all his early EPs. I've heard like his first like three albums.
Shane just said his songs are trash. I'm an older
Kendrick guy.
Bro,
I don't like that he plays a lot of his new stuff because it's just not my vibe.
Wait, Brandon, I'm sorry to cut you off and go nuts here, but Shane just said his songs are trash, bro. You got to give him some deep cut, Kendrick.
Oh no, bro.
I'm sorry to cut you off, Brandon. I really am, You gotta send some deep cut, Kendrick.
I gotta find deep stuff for Shane. You can't give him the very mainstream stuff.
Don't give him DNA. Even though I like DNA, don't give it to him, man. Please don't.
Wait,
Kendrick killed it on the Black Panther soundtrack too. What? What are we doing here, man?
That's my opinion. What? You what?
Like, honestly, oh my god, see. I get hype when I hear like Backseat Freestyle. Like, that's one of my favorite songs. Honestly, the whole Good Kid, Mad City album, there's not a single song I would skip on that, by the way. But like, I don't get Shane. Like, he's had to have heard All Right. He's had to have heard The Black of the Berry. He's had to have heard these songs.
Okay, wait. Can I tell a story about All Right? We had an African American celebration, a very great one, by the way. It was after like one of the shootings and stuff like that. Bad situation, and they literally played All Right on its entirety in the commencement hall at my school or whatever, the assembly. They literally played All Right to its full entirety at max volume. And I was like, I'm hyped, but like, bro,
oh
what?
My god.
I'm dude, not Dr. joking.
Eminem, yeah, he's done. Eminem, come on now.
But see, if you listen to them.
William, are you an Apple Music user? What is this? I respect it enough.
Oh my god, we're gonna get off the track here because like, we're still recording. But yeah, I cannot believe who the hell brought that up when I was talking about The Weeknd. Who the hell brought up Kendrick Lamar to Shane? Or did he just?
Oh, yeah,
Will was putting in the chat. Don't forget that Kendrick's playing the Super Bowl and that we should talk about it. So I was gonna bring it up.
Shane was like,
who?
I got disrespected for a bit on that one. So.
Oh my god, man! The next time he gets in, by the next show, our goal is to culture Shane somewhat, at least somewhat.
Again, you guys should send me some Kendrick too, because I don't only know like more of the popular stuff. I got to do more of the deep cut shit too, because I like him. Again, I just don't listen to him enough.
Oh yeah, Will and I got you, because I grew up. Like I grew up just a massive, and I mean, you know, like as I get older, like the two things I love the most, and Rob, you know this, is rap and rock. I'm a rap and rock guy. I love both. So, you know, I grew up, you know, in both universes. I grew up a rock fan because of my grandparents. I grew up a rap fan because of my mom and my dad. I grew up in both sides. I'm as much of a metalhead as I am you know, a rap head, a rap aficionado. I love that music. So, you know, we got you. Trust me. We got you and Shane.
Yeah, Jesus, this, we were good. When Will brought it up, I was like, crap, we need to talk about this. And then Shane was like, I don't really know his stuff. I'm like, okay, we have a problem.
Yeah, so you got pretty much, what, two hip-hop heads here that can culture both of you?
Yeah, that's a good thing. And on the weekend, too, of course. But, yeah. Will, you know, we're excited because Super Bowl week, we're going to do another round of our favorite music that we did last year too. So that's going to be fun.
Oh, that's
I'm not going to, I'm not going to be Brandon knows this. Will, I did a very depressing playlist last year. It was like, depressing.
You weren't like depressed. You were in a much different place.
Oh, I was a much different place by that point, but like, bro, it was some nasty stuff. So I'm going to go a bit happier this time around when we do it. But, we need to send Will those playlists that we did, because we did some really interesting stuff. But, Will, I can't wait to have you be a part of that, bro, because we had some fun with that last year. That's going to be fun, Super Bowl week. But, that'll be it for us after going crazy on music for a little bit there. But anything else before we go? Kadarius Toney to the Browns. Does anyone want to say a word on that?
Oh, Lord, is it the Browns can't get any worse?
Oh boy, yeah.
That's fun. That's gonna be so much fun watching Deshaun Watson try to throw a football to Kadarius Toney. Hilarious.
Oh boy, I'm glad you're not going to Seahawks.
I was just about to say that.
I said I don't want him. No, no, no. Can't even catch a brick, man. Get out of here, man.
All right, for Brandon, for Will, we'll see you back on Thursday, officially Thursday Night Football, going on Amazon Prime. So that'll be our official Thursday Night Kickoff show to kick off the Amazon Prime season with one that's going to have some interesting thoughts, the Dolphins and the Bills opening up week two of the NFL season. We'll see you back on Thursday for Will and Brandon. Thank you guys very much again. Thank you to everyone listening. We will see you back on Thursday for a much less heavy week of podcasts. Back to our normal schedule. Thank you guys again.